Yo, what's happening? You, absolutely, Netanyahu.
Netanyahu's making the is making the team.
Yes, he's making the team.
All right.
Yeah. Welcome, y'all. Spears and Steinberg. You know the deal. Spearsberg Pod Twitter. Spearsberg Pod Patreon. Spearsberg Pod YouTube. Spearsberg Pod Instagram. Hits 101.
And we're going to be in Cleveland the week after you hear this. Do you know the date we're going to be in Cleveland?
Why would I?
I think it's that Thursday. you talk. I'm going to get the date.
All right. Yeah, Cleveland. Yeah.
That might have been a mistake.
Just a bit outside. One of the best movies ever to me, comedically. Major League, man. I love it, you know? Charlie Sheen, come on, Aries. Wesley Snipes, Tom Bergeron. I think I'm saying that last name wrong. The dude from L.A. Law. Yeah. I didn't like two so much, especially because Wesley went in and they replaced him with Omar Epps.
I don't remember. I don't even remember two.
Of course you don't. Palenko Yoba is coming.
Yeah, I need it. It's going to be the 19th. It's actually a Friday through Sunday show. So the 19th through the 21st. And then apparently, I don't know, because you told me it's true, the 25th through the 28th will be in Tacoma.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
So there's some sunshine.
Let's roll up our jeans and our sleeves and let's dive right in.
Yeah.
A lot of people were telling me to check this movie out called American Skin. With Nate Parker, produced, I guess, by Spike Lee, right? Something like that. Spike had some involvement in it. And everybody comes, you gotta see it, gotta see it, gotta see it. So I finally watched it today. And I had you watch it. And Andy. First of all, let me say what I said in my post. Because I saw the preview, so I knew what it was about. And for those of you who don't, Nate Parker's 14-year-old son gets shot and killed by a cop. And when the justice system failed him and his family, what? That happens? Him and a couple of his brothers, Leroy Furious, decide to put on bulletproof vests, strap themselves with guns, semi-automatic weapons, take the police station hostage, and hold a mock court for the cop that killed his son. And I went, ooh, boy, this is going to be good. And I want to give Nate, these young kids say, give them their flowers, their props. I want to give Nate Parker his flowers because he makes great movies. And I've only seen two, but the one prior to this one was Birth of a Nation, which was heavy, heavy shit. Of course, it was the story of Nat Turner. He was playing Nat Turner. And now there's this one. And God damn it, it's a good movie. But damn it, and I'm working backwards here because I got all these notes, but I work backwards. God damn it. I'm watching this halfway through it. I'm going, this is going to end one of two ways. One, he's going to kill this motherfucking cop. Or two, he's not going to kill the cop. And I had a feeling it was going to be the latter. Because just to see a black man or black character smoke a cop, I just don't think they're going to do that. I don't think the powers that be will allow it. Not to mention, you get the sense from his character, he's not that kind of guy. But in saying that, I went, here we go. Here we go. Marching, praying. Oh, Lord, from the bondage, Lord. It's the turn the other cheek shit. And it took the fucking power out of the punch. They took the power out of the punch. And before I give Andy the floor, my whole thing was this. It's not a movie based in true events. If it was a movie based in true events and he really shot the cop, well, then you'd be doing the movie a disservice if you didn't shoot the cop. I knew it was fiction. But I'm going, all right, if it's fiction, then go all the way. If this is make-believe, and let me say, I'm not condoning cops. We're talking about a movie, fantasy. While the content, in terms of context, is real and that's not based on fantasy. It's still a movie. Why not go all the way? They took the fucking sugar out of the Kool-Aid, nigga.
I don't think you go all the way, not because of what you're saying. It's because he's a better person than that. It wasn't about killing the other guy. I know you're going to say that's the turn the cheek thing. No, I'm just saying he was a better person than that. And the movie doesn't work unless you make him a better person.
Bullshit.
Because the end of the movie, if they kill a bad guy, it doesn't make a difference.
Here's right now where you always ask that question, where am I going to get the letters? Right there.
Well,
because let me say, first of all, and I'm basing this off of not just my personal feeling, a lot of black people on Instagram went, dude, what was the point of that? It's like if you're gonna not go through with it, only for guess what? And I sent my post out before I saw the ending. Once he took off the vest and put the gun down and got demilitarized, and he even said, I'll take whatever time they give me. I went, so wait a minute. You went through all of that only to not have your son come back. Obviously, he can't. He's dead. You're letting the cop go, and you're going to jail. But they did you one better. They smoked this nigga. So now you and your son is dead. The cop still is free. The end.
But the point is, first of all, what I was saying was, and when you rudely interrupted
me. I'm sorry. Yes, you did. Well, you interrupt rhythm, so I decided I probably kicked you back in rhythm.
In the structure of the movie.
Yes.
If you shoot the bad guy, then everybody is it's a deeper meaning when the good guy gets killed.
No.
It is a deeper meaning. In the movie structure. I'm talking not...
Oh, technicals.
Technicals, yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying it was done that way.
Okay.
The other thing that I was going to say, it's addressed earlier in the movie when the Muslim prisoner says, are you willing to go all the way with this brother? If we're doing this, are you willing to go all the way?
Okay, so, and I could see that question being asked.
Yeah, so it was addressed in the movie whether he was going to do that or not. So you kind of get the feeling from that. I got the feeling from that they're setting up some structural things in the movie. I'm sorry, I look at movies more structural than because this is a movie.
Here's how I knew he wasn't going to shoot him. When he had him handcuffed to the desk, and Nate Parker pulls out his gun, puts it on the desk, and then I forget what exactly was said or the moment, but they froze on Nate. He kind of made a grunt noise, and he dragged his gun off the desk and walked out the room. I said right there, then he ain't doing it.
Well, what happened there is when the younger kid was filming and said, "This isn't gonna change. It's gonna make it worse."
Right. You're right. There you go.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Okay. But now the plan that he has is that this is all being filmed. This is all being filmed because the kids are documenting the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. Is for what he's looking for to get out of this.
So the world, as he said, so the world can see.
Exactly. So
You're right.
At the very end of the movie, they cover it up, and the news is still blaming him, and then he has the CDs, the DVD, and he's sending those out to the news agencies. That's the end of the movie. So he's making sure that the world does see it. So I'm just saying... That's the structure of the movie, but there's something else that's in the movie that I think is it ends with. But that's the end. Let's work our way through some of these things I had a problem with. One is, and this is the first question I asked you when you came in here: if we weren't in COVID, if this was a movie that was being made to be released to nationwide movie theaters, would this movie be being made?
I think there's two answers to that. Let me get to the first thing. Let me go back. Birth of a Nation. I remember before the controversy came out, and I don't know if you remember, but that movie was on pace to be released theatrically, and it was released theatrically, but it had a lot of, the hype machine was behind it. Then the controversy hits, which is Nate Parker was accused of rape and sexual assault, and the girl killed herself because of it. And that killed everything. The hype machine left out of there quicker than a father not trying to take care of his kid. Gone. had that movie come out, and later it was we found out that the girl falsely accused him of something he never did. So let's put that out there. Had that movie come out without the controversy, with the hype machine behind it, and went on to become huge, but then I'm also going, what movies about slavery and racial oppression and division and violence ever are huge blockbusters? They never are. But I think that it would have maybe done enough to where once this, he would be in a different space where this might have come out. So that's the first answer. Second answer, but then again, maybe not because of the content.
Yeah, I think the content would prevent it from being a nationally released movie.
There were a couple people that said on Instagram, because I asked that question. I said, come on, man, you know why. White people don't want to see truth like that. White people don't want to see niggas with guns holding cops hostage. And if he had shot the cop, probably never would have made it. The studio would have probably been like, uh-uh.
Yeah, well, then that would have been the accusation, would have been, this was a studio movie, and that's why it didn't happen.
Right.
That could have been. So because this is on Netflix, not Netflix, it's on Amazon, released. It wasn't released. It was just, it's on Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon.
Very interesting. So this is unadulterated. This is his movie. This was his idea. This is what he brought to it.
Right.
Okay. So then I have a few little things here. There's a few things in here structurally. The way that events with police happened. The first time there is a shooting that happens in the police station. The first shooting is obviously when they take over the police station. Mm-hmm. But then there's another shooting when the cop tries to grab one of the guys during the fight. Well, the
inmate attacks the cop.
And then the cop tries to grab one of the guns. At that point, I think they feel the police probably go in at that point, because if there's another shooting inside. They seem to.
What was missing to me the whole time I'm watching all this unfold is, where are the repeated phone calls
yeah.
by the negotiator? Where's the attempt for the cops to come in? They were silent until the whole fucking time.
So that that kind of
felt a little hokey.
Yeah, it bothered me a little bit that they didn't include some of that.
I'll do you one better than that.
Some tension.
I thought the whole trial thing was hokey. Does that really happen? Like, do they really sit there and have a mock trial and those discussions look, here's what was great about the movie. Yes, they basically have said everything we've ever read on Twitter or Instagram. The some of the points they were making about how the white cops said, oh, well, black people and such, the Asians and such don't make up the jail numbers. And you know, maybe if they would comply and then the rebuttals and. All of that stuff you could read all day long with racial debates on social media. They addressed everything. Sexism with the Latino female cop and this, that, and the other, racial profiling. So that was great to get that out there.
Yeah.
But the way it unfolded.
That's what the movie I felt was made for, was that area right there for those conversations to occur. That was the crux.
That didn't feel hokey to you?
It felt hokey. You know what it felt like to me, honestly? And I appreciate, like
a
you
play.
Said, I was going to pass play. I was going to go past it. I was going to say, like, and I hate, I don't want to minimize it to what I'm about to say, but it felt like it. Something like maybe a Jerry Springer where they have the opposing sides and they're yelling things back and
right,
forth at each other.
Right, right.
So it's a.
Is contrived the word?
Yeah. It's a little,
right.
And you know what, you know, you because you're setting it up with two different kinds of people to have. Opposite response, and you know there's just going to be some shouting back and forth. You might get something out of it, or you might not.
It was real to me in the sense that the conversations or the shouting matches or the debates, whatever you want to call them, were being had and needed to be had. It was fake to me in that it felt like a performance.
Right. Well,
here's the part where the Mexican dude with the tattoos who's cartel wannabe gets into it with the Mexican cop so we can learn about the differences in Mexican culture.
Well, but the one thing about that I'll say that I thought was cool is they didn't sell it out to the audience that way. It's like, you know, where they were, he called him out for being, he called him out in Spanish. And you don't even, he's speaking Spanish suddenly.
I like that touch.
Yeah, and then he answers back because right. He obviously understood everything that he said. He didn't answer back in Spanish. He answered back in English, which shows the division.
Right.
I thought that was a cool touch, but I understand how you felt about, you know, it is a very little, like you said, play contrived.
It almost is like if it were a play. Picture this. It's on stage. You're in the audience. The stage is purposely black, so you can't really see the characters. But as each segment comes up, that part lights up. And it felt like, okay, we lit up the black versus white thing. Now let's light up the Mexican thing. Now let's light up the woman Latina sexism. It felt a little contrived to me, man.
Well, but he was trying
to
cover all the everything that was happening. He's trying to cover all that. I'm sorry, I'm moving that a little bit, you guys. He's covering all the conversations that needs to be had. That has been had, but never like all in, that you don't see in one circle. That one circle is the reason why I felt it was Springer-ish or like.
Right. And because of that one circle, it's like, okay, I get it. They set it up so that that could happen. It just feels like that would never happen.
Well, the other thing that wouldn't happen is it would never be, as uncomfortable as some people might've found it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't uncomfortable because there would have been screaming, yelling. People probably would have thrown things. Mm-hmm. If it was, but like they said, we need to have these uncomfortable conversations. I didn't feel that was uncomfortable enough.
Really?
Yeah. I think the conversations are deeper because everything that we heard was things that we've already heard before.
But see, well, here's the thing. I would say more to your point. I don't think it feels uncomfortable to you because you've had the conversations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've had them so many times
yeah.
that it feels familiar.
Yeah,
well, most people don't have those conversations.
You're right, because I was just saying, I think those conversations have been had. Those are entry-level conversations.
Right.
And not that there's anything wrong with that entry-level conversations. They need to be
Because it got
to
start.
Yeah, but I always feel like we're past that. And that's my problem, too.
Right.
Because I always feel we went further than that already, but that's not necessarily. There is a couple cool things that he also hit on, too, because, and I thought this was really good, when the one kid says, in a poor neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
the policing of a poor neighborhood. And then I think it's the grandmother says, no, a black neighborhood. Because I've brought this up before that there is, that the division is on wealth. There's a lot that has
to do with wealth. When he said that, I was in my room watching this in my bed, and I went, oh, Andy. I swear I said that. When he mentioned it's about wealth,
yeah,
I said, oh, Andy.
But again, and I've said this before, and I think I don't, when I say this, I don't think I include it all the time. There is wealth, and that's a dividing line. But then underneath the wealth, underneath that line of wealth, then you have to divide it up appropriately of how it gets handled.
Thought that when Nate Parker hit that on the head immediately following that response,
yeah.
I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
He said what you always mean to say,
yeah,
but don't say.
Say it the right way.
Right.
Yeah. There's a line in this country that divides the haves from the have-nots, but when you take that line and you go to the have-nots, then there's other lines that are being divided up, and that's what I probably don't say correctly.
Right.
But yes, so I thought that was an important part.
I don't know if you caught this. Did you catch the moment when the cops first arrive and Nate Parker's in the room and he looks out the window to see the cop cars and then he pulled back on him in the shot? He did the Malcolm X thing. The way he held the rifle and he was looking out the window, it was the Malcolm X shot.
I didn't catch it.
Oh, yeah. I think that was on purpose because it was exactly the Malcolm X shot of him looking out the window, holding the gun up the right way as he's watching the squad cars come into focus. Yeah.
There was one other thing I got here that I thought that was really important, and because we were talking about wealth, I love the part where the kid comes. He goes, "How was your first day at school?" He goes, "Oh, it was, I was basically, everybody. He had made some friends. People wanted to hang out with him because he was the only black kid in school, mm-hmm. so he was kind of he made it sound right. He was a novelty, and so everybody wanted it.
Right.
But I love the part where he says, when he starts talking about lunch, and he goes, basically, there's little restaurants that you can get anything you want over there.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what was said is you can get anything you want at this private school.
Right.
And he goes, but then he finished it with, yeah, it was amazing. There wasn't a fight there all day.
Right.
Which kind of, it changed. When you catch up to this later in the movie, when they're talking about public versus private schools.
Right.
And then you can go back to this and the idea that when you have notebook paper, when you have pencils, when you have everything that you're supposed to have for your education, right. Maybe there won't be as much fighting for your piece of that education.
Right.
As opposed to a place where you can go to school in luxury and there's no issues in that school, so there is no fighting.
Right.
Which really, those two are far, they're far away from each other in the movie, but I thought they connected.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to go before that. And this is what I'm like when you hear some black people say to other black people, man, stop acting white. Man, you seem white. And of course, there are black people that get insulted by this because they go, what's being white? Talking properly? Enunciating? The proper use of grammar? That's an insult. But, and I'm not saying that, you know, but it feels like when you grow up rich as a black kid, when you grow up in a way that your parents didn't because they busted their ass to provide you with a better life and with what they didn't have, I won't say you're acting white, but it feels like you are somewhat removed from the culture. Because when his son was talking with his friend on Zoom about resisting the police and you have the right, and his friend was like, nigga, what? You believe that shit? And his dad comes in and is telling him, son, whoa, whoa, whoa. It feels like when you grow up in a world that is not in poverty and ghetto and hood, and you're removed from that culture. God, I don't want to say acting white, but there's a, Damon Wayans used to do a good joke about it, where he talked about, because of his success and fame and his money and allowing his sons to grow up in a way he didn't, hi, Dad, there was a nerdiness to it. They didn't walk, they jumped. They were geeky. Hi, Dad, where he might have been more street because he came up in New York. Like I say with my son is not, man, that nigga, he floats, nigga. He doesn't walk, he floats. And I don't mean that to be some gay reference. I'm just saying his heels don't have the weight of oppression, yeah, and sorrow and misery.
He's not anchored to the ground.
Yeah, man, yeah. That nigga's flying. So when his son was breaking that down, I love that it was interesting that his friend was like, what? And then his dad really let him know what it was. And I want you to speak on that, because then I want to go back to that, because based off of an experience I had.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say something that I haven't said before, and we'll see where that goes. A lot of times I hear the quote that the system isn't failing you. The system was designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's my take on what that scene and how I feel about that quote and the system. The system, and it gets addressed a little bit in here, goes, that's because it said, I got it written right here. Let me see. The school. Okay, that's what it says. In the movie, he says, the system wasn't designed with you in mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is a point that I think is really interesting, and what that kid was going through, and what I feel about the system. The system isn't designed for someone to fail. The system was designed, but I agree with this point in here, the system wasn't designed with you in mind, being black.
Mm-hmm.
So when they designed the system, the system was to work for who was America at that time, and that was white men that the system was designed for.
And still is.
Still is. But here's my point of this. When he says there wasn't, but in not that the system was flawed, the system isn't flawed. The people that run that system are flawed. It wasn't designed with black people in mind. So they alter the system. They twist it so it doesn't work for people of color.
And when it starts to work, they move the finish line.
They do. So that's why what he was saying, and the way I was looking at it is, the system works, but we're on two different timelines. There's the white male timeline, and then there's everyone else. And the white male timeline is present day. I mean, it's where we are, and everyone else is in the is back. They're still trying to catch up to where white men are working out of the system. And that's when he could be. And the reason I refer to that way is because he was realizing, as he's saying, this is what the court cases say. This is what I'm entitled to. This is what. And the dad is basically saying, yeah, you are.
Technically.
Technically.
Yes.
But the reality is, we're still back in time. That's what I'm trying to use that timeline is that we
know what's how it's supposed to be,
but it wasn't designed with you in mind, which means since they pushed you back, they didn't push themselves forward. They just pushed everyone else back.
We wrote these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Get me a sandwich, nigger, I'll kill you. Truth, justice, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, and it's a brilliant part.
Right.
Because they weren't in mind. They didn't think that was...
But it was written as though they were in mind.
Well, it was...
It was written for everybody.
It was written to be perfect, or as perfect as it could be.
Right.
But applying it is still by the man. And I didn't mean by the... When I said it, it was finding...
Leroy,
I didn't mean to say the man, meaning the man. I meant it was by the man who wrote it, the man. But that's really funny because now I really feel the man in that.
Right.
But that to me was captured in that Zoom thing when they were going back and you saw the difference. He's working in what is present day. I'm entitled to these rights. Right. The dad is working. I just want you to get back home. And his friend was like, are you fucking crazy? That doesn't work this way.
God, and that leads me to something else that I'll get to. But let me say this. I remember one time I was in Baltimore and... near the Power Light District, which is where everything pops. And once shit lets out at 2 o'clock, you know, like anywhere else where it's popping, shit gets chaotic. So I remember this white cop had said something to me about not standing in a certain place. And I raised my voice. You know, I raised my voice. That motherfucker put me in cuffs and sat me on the curb with the intention of arresting me. And I said, what are you arresting me for? For raising my voice? And I thought I was going to jail that night. And then later on, a black cop came along and saw me and knew who I was. But I also asked his partner, what did he do? And I said, all I did was raise my voice. So he pulls his partner to the side. They have a little discussion. Next thing I know, I'm out the cuffs and I'm free to go. And I was stating what I knew I had the right to do. And I remember Patrice said on Opening Anthony, nothing makes police angrier than people who think they know their rights. And when you try to state your rights to a cop, that makes them angry, even if you're in the right. And I was sitting there wrestling with that going, was that a racial thing? Or did he really arrest me? But it felt racial. Not because the cop was white, the energy he gave off. And talking to me, the energy, like in that scene where, and you had asked me about the movie Queen and Slim. I wish you had saw that movie because put it like this. In this movie, American Skin, the same thing where the cop had pulled his dad out, hands on the fucking top of the roof, and his son had a phone, was recording it. The cops had put the phone away, and it ended up in him being shot. That's the same way it goes down with Queen and Slim. A racist cop pulls him over. Wants to look in his trunk without permission. The black girl is a lawyer. She's telling the cop what he can't do. At one point, he says, stay in the car. And she gets out the car. It leads to her being shot. Then the black dude wrestles the cop with a gun. He ends up killing the cop. So let me get back to the point. Even though I don't know if it was racial, the way the cop was talking to me, looking at me, he never said anything and, you know, nigga, and most cops, racist cops, don't even call you that, you know. But there's an energy that comes off where I go, this feels racial, dude. So, you know, and again, when the son was, technically it says we could do this, we could do that. That don't apply. And I don't think you should. When you deal with the police, and you're black, I think it's crazy we even have to, sir, when Nate Parker in the beginning was, these are my hands, I'm undoing my seatbelt, can I reach past my son to grab the fact that we even have to do that is crazy. That's crazy. Born, protect and serve. We pay them our tax dollars and we have to go through a drill?
Well, just to let you know, even though you've seen my kids. They don't look
right.
They're True looks Hispanic. Max looks Jewish.
Right.
I mean, I went through all the police stuff with them.
But do you think they would really have to do that?
I don't know if they would have to do with it, but it's getting crazier now. Because what you said about police, I have two things about this. And again, and this is where I'm breaking my own rule. If you're a good cop, you don't need me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Yes, we know this isn't all cops. But there is cops, for what if you when you said raise your voice, question their authority, they feel like they're the authority. There's a movie, and I can't remember the line, but they feel like they're the top of the authority. Besides the judge, on the street, they feel like they're the highest amount of authority that's on the street, and you can't question that. But this is what I wanted to say that I think is important, because you were talking about the issue that you had, and I'm just going to give you something that maybe doesn't sound like it relates, but I'll get it there as fast as possible. My uncle was... in Arizona, was very prominent in getting legalized topless dancing in there. But what he had to do, he was the manager of the club. And the people that wanted to own these businesses hired him and paid him well to be arrested. And they would drop the charges, so he had to continue to do it to be arrested. And the reason I'm saying to drop the charges, why they would drop the charges is you can't change the law until you have a case to bring to court.
So getting arrested gives you the case?
Getting arrested and going to court is what gives you is a lot of what makes changes in the laws. Because you can set precedent with your cases.
Right.
So I'm not saying that everybody needs to go out and get arrested or that you should want to get arrested. I go, but understanding the system and understanding when you are being provoked by any law enforcement, or you feel that you are being wronged, instead of taking your life in your hands, I would, you know, and this, and everybody's going to say, well, you're white, dude, so it doesn't make a difference. Document as much as you can, and then you go to court, and then that's now that's money, but there's people out there that are willing to take on cases now that can set precedent and go that way. I think that's a lot safer than the other option.
Like, I hate saying this because it makes me sound slavish or weak. But I know you didn't see Queen and Slim, but I'm telling you that was the setup.
Yeah.
You saw this movie. And I'm glad Nate Parker kind of said it, because if you do feel weak or slavish or like you're bucking, his main thing to his son was, do what you got to do to come home to me. And my whole thing was, should the black girl in Queen and Slim got out the car, even though she might have been right? Should she have been spouting, I'm a lawyer and the law says, even though she might have been right? Should Nate Parker's son have been recording that with his phone, which, because it's black and maybe because the cop might mistake it for a gun, or even if he knew it was a phone but was going, I have the right? Should you do that if it means, yo, you might not come home? I say, fuck what you think you know about the law. Fuck trying to record it with your phone. If you are sensing that this cop will kill your black ass, come home. And I love that he said that, because to me, anything other than that, I think people will take, and I still think people will take what I'm saying as bucking. Because Lord knows I've hinted at this on Instagram, and there are the comments from the, no, fuck that, brother. Fuck them pigs. You stand up for yourself. You gonna stand up to lay down in a coffin?
I would never, if I was in a situation with the cops, I would never start filming. But I would push record on the recorder, and I would put it in a place in the car where they wouldn't notice.
Where they wouldn't see you.
Yeah, and that way you have at least have the recording.
Well, I can go for that. That's being strategic.
Yeah, but I don't. I even with the privilege of my skin color, I wouldn't pull out my phone when I saw cops doing something. Not. Let me rephrase this. If I was in the car, if I was in the area that is being taken over by the police, or you know that is being searched by the police, I wouldn't pull out my phone like that. I would put it on record. But if I was
would you blatantly knowing your rights, go, it says on chapter whatever page, I have the, would you do that?
When I was younger, I was at a restaurant, and this was when I was in college. I was at a, like a really quick service restaurant, and only had like four or five seats in it, and there was a whole, there was one section where you could have a big table, and these cops were there. There was like six of them, and I had just come out of a class, and it was an art class, and we were just talking about art, and it was with this, it was a girl that went to the, was in the same class, and we went to have lunch, and we were discussing the art, and we were like getting kind of passionate about it, and this cop comes over, and he goes, you need to keep it down. Left his table, came over and stood in front of me, and said, you need to keep it down. I go, keep what down? I was like, I wasn't even trying to be a smartass. I was just like, keep what down? Like, I thought, what did I do?
Right.
And then he goes, you're being very loud and you're disturbing everyone in here. And I go, I am? Like, I was like, I am? And he goes, yes, you are. And then I got offended by it. And then I looked at the people next to me. I go, am I disturbing you in any way? And they go, they didn't even look up. The people just go, no. And I looked at the table on the other side. I go, am I disturbing you? And they go, no. And right. I go, and then I looked at all the cops and then I go, am I disturbing you guys? And they didn't say anything. They just sat there. Mm. They didn't look at me like, they kind of looked away from me like, you're on your own. He's in a bad mood. And mm. I go, officer, I guess I'm sorry if I was disturbing you, but I'm not disturbing anyone else. And he goes, keep it down. And he walked out the door. I walk outside. After we were just finishing anyway. I walk outside, and he has this guy on a 10-speed bike, and he's holding the guy's handlebars, just screaming at him. And I go, dude, I go, officer. I said, this is what I said, and this was wrong. I go, hey, officer friendly.
Smart ass.
I said, man, you are in a bad mood today, and you're going to hurt somebody. And he said, do you want me to start with you? I go, listen to this, man. I go, I'm done with class. If you want to arrest me right now, we can go to court. We can go to the jail, and we can waste your whole fucking day. And I'm happy to do it because I know that you're a problem. And he told me to fuck off, and he got in his car and drove away. Now, that might be, like everybody says, is white privilege. But I also had a row of cops that were in there that had witnessed all this, plus everybody in that building that knew what just happened. But this is the problem with policing is that, and what I'm going to say is not only was that an issue, but that man, I'm not saying that he was a problem. He might've had a bad day. I don't know. He might've found out his kid was sick. I don't know what caused him to be in that bad mood. But as long as we have humans that are doing the policing, I'm subjugated, and you're to their likes and dislikes. Whether that's racism, whether that's they had a bad meal, whether that's their wife wouldn't blow them, or whether their wife was cheating on somebody with somebody on them. That's who we have to deal with. That person. That's why I said I wouldn't pull it out because I don't know what his problem is that day.
Okay, but knowing, well, see, but it's crazy to ask you this because again, you are white, so you don't have to worry about it. Because I was going to say, knowing what you know and have seen in terms of the police interaction with black folks, if you had to do it all over again, or if you found yourself in a situation currently where you had to deal with a cop, would you spout off the laws and talk shit?
No, I wouldn't. And I think I'm watching a lot of this happen right now that you see in these videos, and they're asking for the names. I understand you have the right to do that. But the consequences are high. I'm not advocating for you to get arrested. But if you're going to go that far, then how do you get arrested safely? I don't even know how to explain what I'm trying to say. If you find yourself in the situation where you had a problem with an officer and they were in the wrong and you did find yourself in jail, I would go everywhere to try to find support. I would start what is those things you can do where you get funding, where people put money into the account?
Oh, like a GoFundMe?
Yeah, I'd get a GoFundMe to go fight the police. I don't know what right. I would do, but I would. If you have a law case, you can. If you have a case, you can actually take that up with the court, and you can try to get that officer that wronged you. What happens to the officer though?
I just.
God, it sounded so. I know everything I said, even in my head, I was going, dude, that sounds so white.
Well, no, but look, as I'm watching it, and I remember I was more mad at Queen and Slim because she got out the car and she was, you know, I'm saying this loosely but seriously, typical black woman shit. You know, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but she was, why are you harassing him? You don't have the right to look in that trunk and blah, 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 and blah, blah. And I remember she got out the car and I'm watching it going, bitch, get your ass in the car. Fuck you getting out the car for? And as I'm watching this movie and his son with the phone, I'm going, man, put the phone down. Let him see your hands. And it almost feels like I'm saying what the typical white response is, comply, comply, comply. Knowing that complying ain't got nothing to do with this. But I'm more or less talking about comply just so you don't get killed.
Yeah, but
just so you come home.
But on the other side of that argument, and I'm saying this because I heard my other argument or my other thing that I stated, it sounded almost comical to me in another way. Sandra Bland didn't do anything other than have some disdain for the fact that she was profiled and she was, she just, all she did was have a little slight, I mean, a minor, I wouldn't even call it an attitude. She was just frustrated.
But then remember in the movie, the cop later admits it was a profile.
Yeah, in this movie. Yeah, and they say it's a profile. I love the part where they brought up there's two speed bumps, so he couldn't have been speeding.
Right.
So it was totally a profile. Before we go there, I want to get to one other thing that I said that came up when it says the laws of this land. And he said, I just want you to get home because that's what you're saying.
Right.
No, it was Ghost.
Speaking of which, let me just say this, and this is just a quick note. Omari Hardwick remind me of why I can't watch Ghost without Power without him. His presence, man.
You like that?
I like his fucking dark, serious, intimidating look in his face and the seriousness of him.
I bet you he got a lot of lines cut because he didn't need the lines to convey what he was doing.
Yeah, man. He does that fucking, what did you say to me? Look without saying, what did you say to me?
Even the tone of his voice, how he changes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in that, he has that, he has a tattoo that says, it is what it is. It is what it is. And then that's in that part. And I'm going to end with something that connects to that afterwards. So keep going.
I wrote this down. And I got to say, dude, this is a two-part thing. When the black chief is in the home of the son's mother and the cousins are recording him, you know, black cops are a fucking disgrace. Like, I don't understand. Even when whoever the dude in the suit was announcing that the charges had been filed, but no guilty or whatever,
yeah,
or no charges were going to be filed, you see in the background another black cop in back of him in the shot. And I'm just going, how do you, and I know I've said this on the PC before, how do you niggas sleep at night? Knowing that your kinfolk, your people are being killed and you don't do nothing. And then I thought to myself, this might be the difference in generations now. Because the way that young kid was talking to the cop, and I understand the anger, the frustration, it was his cousin. Motherfucker, bitch, motherfucker, bitch. And a couple of times the auntie had to go, calm down, calm down. It seems like now this new generation, where culturally before, black people, we don't play our kids talking like white kids. We don't play our kids disrespecting us. And we whoop our kids. It feels like now and now as we progress, we're getting away from that. And black kids are getting leniency now to talk to adults like they're white kids. Because I have a hard time believing, even if that was a situation in my life, my mother would allow me or my aunt would allow me to talk to another adult that way. Even with the circumstances being what they were. All that cussing and talking like that is that, I was like, God damn.
Yeah, I the reason I didn't feel, I guess, as strongly about that as you did, I liked the part where even in their own home,
mm-hmm,
he had to say to him, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to me? I have every right to do that. I'm in my home.
Right.
So I understood the forcefulness of his language at that moment because it was making the point.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you on the other thing, because I think in general kids are getting away with.
Like it's, it feels like culturally black people don't whip their kids no more.
I used to think that was, like I said, I was raised that way. Like my dad, you know, you fucked up, you got hands. I mean, you got, you know, my grandfather when I was, it's my step-grandfather, but I remember I must have been like 6 years old and he said, I did something. He goes, you know what happens when you do that? He goes, I'm going to give you a warning. You get the five fingers.
Slap.
Yeah, and he's called it the five fingers. And I knew if he ever said the five fingers, I was in trouble.
Right.
So,
But you're feeling on the black cops.
Okay. Let's do this because we can. I try to get as much experience as I can before. We were in Mississippi.
Yes,
Mississippi.
I remember this. Yeah,
and Mississippi police is mainly black.
Yes,
and they have a whole nother idea that differs from your idea of what their policing is. And how they feel about community, mm-hmm. and whether they agree or disagree with some of the things going on right now. And most of them agree, look at it more as police than as a black issue. Those police said, no, you know, if you do this, that's what happens. That's how it goes. And that goes to where that's what they're trained to do. The cops agreed with the, okay, I'm going
to. Well, okay, wait, but when you say that's what they're trained to do.
That's what the cop said to me when we were in Mississippi, and I said about the guy who got shot at Wendy's when he was drinking, and the one cop was talking to the other cop, got there, then he wrestled both those cops and he got the guy's taser, he ran, and when he turned and the other cop shot him and killed him at that Wendy's. This was at about the same mm-hmm. time they were there. He was siding with the cops.
Okay, but if that's what they're trained to do, which is to say, follow protocol, follow what you've been taught, follow what's in the rule book.
Yeah, I'm scared. He's turning. He has a weapon. I can shoot. Okay.
Well, but then you can't turn around and then break the rules and then break the law.
No, I'm not justifying that. I'm just saying that was kind of that's. But on the other hand, how do you make changes in the police force if there is no black police officers? But then the black police officers go in, buy into the
brotherhood.
So I'm very conflicted in this. When you
this shouldn't be a conflict at all.
Well, I'm conflicted with what's happening with it.
I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying if you're a cop and you're black, and you know this shit is going on, you're watching it on the news, you're reading it at the papers, you understand why the riots are breaking out in your cities. How do you just allow this? How?
Because you can make more change within than you can outside.
But ain't none of them doing it.
But you know that's where I said that's where I'm conflicted with this. I think you need black police officers policing black neighborhoods so that it doesn't feel as I don't want to say enemy, but you want to have someone that you know that knows the neighborhood, that knows the area,
right?
As opposed to just someone that's coming in there and it becomes a racial issue.
You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, and I'm sure you might have been in a room a couple times, when we've done shows where we have, and this mainly happens in the black rooms, especially the ghetto black rooms, they always have security that's an ex-cop or a cop, but got gun and a badge. And every now and then in a white room, a cop may come in from the outside.
To see the show.
To see the show. And I've always jokingly asked the black cops, hey, man, how come y'all don't tell on the ones that y'all know are fucked up? And what always happens? They laugh. The crowd laughs. But I never get an answer. They never answer me. They never go, you know what it is, brother? They don't answer me.
Yeah, okay, now let's go back to the movie. In that they attempt to say, you know, it's a very difficult job. The toughest job is stopping someone, the initial stop. We want to get home. We want to see our kids. We have the same feelings as everybody else does about trying to get home. The black cops in those police forces are in that same situation. So do they start looking at it differently? Do they not know? But we know, especially right now, from things that are being released, from videos that are online, the cops are not just bigoted. They're racists. Not. Again, all cops, but there are cops out there. That influences how the police department runs. So this is why I'm conflicted with. I can't even answer that question.
You know, but even when you say, and I agree, because you don't want to paint everybody with the same brush. When you go, not all cops, but one thing that I always found interesting, like even in that scene where they had all the cops, tie, you know, with the hog ties or whatever, you could just zip things. Again, no one is outwardly racist. You blacks and you black people with niggas and coons and even when the cops claim not to be, like the one cop who goes, I know I'm not racist. But the more and more you let them speak, they show how racist they are. I'm telling you, the tone changes when they start getting specific about what really bothers them. And even then, it seems like they're trying not to, of course, say the N-word, because that's the dead giveaway, or anything else that's outwardly racist. But when they speak, and it's like they're finally getting the weight off their chest. And when they get detailed and they get passionate, you see it. And you go, there it is. There's the racism.
Yeah, but not, this isn't a pass for them. I love it. Anytime I hear someone say, I'm not racist, I know that that's a problem. Because the true definition, one of the definitions of racism is just a predetermined ideology of a person, place, or thing, usually in the negative. So when those cops are speaking and they're saying, they're profiling, you're black, you're in an old car, you're in a nice neighborhood, I need to pull you over, something's there. That's not profiling. That's a racist thought. A predetermined ideology of a person, place, or thing. That's all of them right there.
Mm-hmm.
Person, place, and thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not profiling. It's racism. And that's what you're taught. You're taught a racist maneuver. So there is, like I said, the system, it's the way that the people enforce the system.
Are you racist, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we all have, you're racist. Every one of us has racism within us.
Well, let's, like they say. When, again, another definition of racism is being able to oppress one by means of power. And black people have never had the power. So we can't be racist. We could be bigoted.
You be, well, you have more power now than you did before.
Right.
And the reason I'm going to say this.
Well, I know I've always had power because when I put my dick on a bitch, she cannot get up.
The power statement is correct. But you're also, and this is where it starts to get more complicated. You're also American. And America has power, and you're part of that power structure, whether you enjoy all the rewards of America or not. People in other countries that are oppressed by maybe American actions or policy don't look at you as just a black guy. They look at you as an American guy, and you have power.
Well, look, like, again, let me go back to that scene where the cop, the Hispanic cop, is talking about the cholo. Did you see the passion in which they were going back and forth? Now, I don't speak Spanish, so I don't understand what the guy who was speaking Spanish was saying. But whatever he was saying irritated the cop off enough to where you almost saw the veins popping out of this motherfucker's head. And again, because I'm gonna say something to this. The way he was going back at the Mexican prisoner, you could tell he had an issue with his own people. And when you ask me or when you say, am I racist? And yeah, I think we're all a little racist. Dude, I love my people, but I also have a problem with my people. Because, and listen, Chris Rock, I love black people. I hate niggas. Niggas will rob your house and come to you the next day and go, heard you got robbed. The mentality, the attitude, the non-class, I hate niggas sometimes. And why I'm saying that is, two nights in a row, back-to-back shows. And again, when you do something long enough, you come across everything. First time for me, I've ever done shows where here in Kansas City, two nights in a row, on a back-to-back, two ignorant niggas. They're disruptive. They're like roaches. They serve no purpose. And the one dude who I got into it with I don't even want to get into details. But then the black bitch last night, who was so goddamn drunk, and to the point where, nigga, it got explosive. I cussed out the management. Like, y'all motherfuckers just sit back and do nothing. And it's like, listen, again, I'll handle a heckler. That's what we're trained to do. But at some point, you can only talk a motherfucker down so much before you got to kill him. And I'm using this and trying to put in police terms, not in a bad way, but in the justifiable way. You know, I'm not talking racially. I'm talking if a motherfucker, put the knife down. Sir, back away, put the knife down. And you can only talk so much before, yo, you got to take this motherfucker down. I can only talk so much before management should throw you out. And at one point, when I did the joke about how if a woman got nice feet, I'll suck on her toes, did you see that the bitch took her boot off and started kicking her leg in the air? Like, she literally took her boot off and was just kicking her leg in the air. And I'm like, yo, this is beyond just.
But she was.
But niggas make me sick.
But she was drunk enough that she thought she was doing something.
No, because a part of that, too, is. That concoction of liquor and ghetto. You can be drunk and act a certain way, but when you're ghetto and hood, which means you don't. What's that word I'm looking for? Class is one. Oh my God! I think it's a word that starts with E. I want to say etiquette. When you're from the ghetto.
I got a word in.
And you're from the hood, and you just are trifling, and you have no etiquette. You really don't know better. And then you put alcohol on that? That's an explosion.
Well, she was also very ghetto proud. She was proud of her. She came out and said it that way. She goes, right. I'm from the streets. I'm from
she kept
the ghetto.
Going South Central in the house and making that Cardi B sound all night and throwing up West Side, and I'm just like, Jesus, you have no etiquette or class.
But she was, I'm only saying this from my observation.
There's a lot, I'm sorry, Andy. There's a lot of ghetto niggas that grow up in the hood and the ghetto and poverty stricken, but that have class and etiquette. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying, just because you're from the ghetto or from poverty. No, it's how you was raised. You can't necessarily help your conditions, but you can help how you're brought up. The parents. The parents might not be able to go, look, I didn't bring you into a world with a silver spoon in your mouth, a house, a lawn, a mortgage, you know, several cars. You were born into poverty. But just because you were born into poverty doesn't mean it has to be your mindset. It has to be your etiquette. It has to be your behavior. I was born poor. I grew up broke with mice and roaches. But again, my mother made us do book reports. My mother made sure we read. We were well read. My mother trained us and made sure we had etiquette. I can't. And some niggas have no etiquette. I can't fucking stand them. So yeah, I'm racist.
All ethnic groups have the same thing that you're saying. When I see Hispanics, I'm going to say Mexicans because I'm not going to put it in Hispanic terms, but when I see Mexicans doing things that I feel are the stereotypical type, it bothers me. When I see Jews doing that stereotypical thing that Jews are, it bothers me. We all have that. I think that's cross cultures, everybody except for if you're. When I told you white people don't necessarily look at white people and go, oh, that reflects me. They haven't in the past. They are now. I think that is happening now. But I think we all have that where we don't want to be put in that group.
Right.
And so that it fucks with us. This is something we're trying to move away, better ourselves from, look different thing.
And that's what it felt like the Hispanic cop was conveying to the prisoner when he got angry and he stood up and he looked like he lunged toward him, like he was almost like going, what I'm doing, you niggas make it bad on the rest of us.
But there was something important that we didn't say in there. When they pulled out all those prisoners to be the jury.
The jurors, yeah.
He goes, these are all nonviolent offenders.
Right.
So the guy, even though he had his tattoo, the image, the whole thing that he was talking about, he wasn't violent. I know a lot of dudes tatted up, face, right, hands, whole works. That's just part of their who they are.
Yeah, but that's very different because he mentioned you cartel wannabe. So even if he wasn't in jail for a violent crime, might have been drugs. But it still feeds into the stereotype or the negative outlook that, man, fucking the Mexicans are all drug dealers and gang members.
But I also appreciate the way that that scene was done, because the cop who was so offended by him, you saw his rage and his anger, where the dude who's all tatted up, the one who's
cool as shit, right?
Yeah, just stayed cool. He didn't let that. And that's part of the problem with because once you get to a level where you think, and this is why you have to be very careful about how you feel about your own community, in a sense, is because when you feel that you are lifted above that, that's when you become the angry guy towards your own people.
Listen, and I want to convey this based on what you just said. Let's be clear. I don't think I'm above anybody. What I'm trying to say is, when you are disruptive and you don't have the proper etiquette and common sense to behave accordingly, you're a pain in the ass. And you make things difficult. And no one likes difficult.
Can I add something from an outside view of what I watched last night?
Yeah.
Everything that you just said. But here's the other part of it. And this is how, and this is why I think it offends us personally to whatever culture you're from when that happens. You're on stage. You're doing a job. So when your own come into that room, you would think that they'd want to be there for you. They would want to uplift you.
Yeah.
They'd want to make you better then.
Yes.
And what they're doing, whether they're realizing it or not, they're taking you down. And that's where I think the anger comes from.
Yes, thank you. Part of it, yes.
Because and judging it from the outside, I'm looking at it and going, how are you looking for respect as a black human when the other black humans aren't respecting you and what you've done and accomplished, and you're bringing the craft to them, and they put you in that way? Same way that I feel when I look at when I see people judging Hispanics, Jews, I don't think of myself, but I understand. I see the frustration levels when people are doing it to each other. We're still human, but now, but we have this tribal grouping that we do,
right?
And some of us want our tribe to do well, and others don't give a fuck.
There you go. We're at a minute and 2 seconds. Boy, this was...
This took up the whole thing.
Things needed to be said. And listen, folks, if you haven't seen it, I still would recommend it highly. It's a great, great, great movie.
I know we don't have time. I got to throw these few things in really quick.
I just want to say, but it just took a little bit out of the snap of the punch when it didn't end how you thought it maybe should have ended. So that was what it was for me. It's like you're in the mood for a cheeseburger, and you get home and you find out the place you picked your cheeseburger up forgot the cheese. You still gonna enjoy the burger, maybe throw a little extra mustard or a condiment on that motherfucker, and you still hungry and you're gonna eat it, but damn, you wanted the cheese.
To what you're saying, and I don't want to give away the ending because I would like people who heard this to at least, I don't know, we probably already given it away anyway. Yeah, if you don't listen to this if you haven't seen it. I thought it was important to mention that at the end, when I was watching the movie, and then it looked like it was going to end all like fluffy and nice, right. I was really mad. I was like, they let this opportunity go.
Right.
And it's going to turn into every other movie where the white guy realizes that he has issues to work on, and the black guy gave him the... key to open his mind of his locked door.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? I mean, I watched this for an hour and that's what I was going to be left with. And then obviously they changed it. But then that goes back to what it says is that's what they're trained to do. Because the cop kept yelling, that's what they're trained to do. And at the very end of the movie, I went, ah, shit, that's what they're trained to do. It ended with the call throughout the whole thing when the cop keeps saying that's what they're trained to do. And as long as that's what they're trained to do, This is the problem with the system. This is what's going to keep happening over and over and over. It's not just about the police. It's not about the guys in the car that's painted serve and protect. It's the training that they go through and lack thereof training.
Right.
So that's what I took away from the movie right there, is that's what they're trained to do.
Right. Okay.
So I don't know if anybody else got that from it, but that that made all the sense to me at the end when I felt that. That's what they're trained to do.
All right.
Change the system, man.
When they shot him at the end.
That's what they were trained to do.
I know, but I was almost waiting for that the Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny cartoon thing to come up. That's all, folks. Because that felt like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
All right. From my boy, once again, Maurice Dotson, a.k.a. The Doctor. And he wants me to spell it out for you. THADOCCTAH. The Doctor. It can be pulled up on YouTube and Instagram. This is Lady Razorblade from The Doctor. THADOCCTHA. See y'all next week.
Should have done that like WKRP in Cincinnati.
What do you mean? The song?
Damn. The Doctor. He's the doctor when he does the...
Oh, see, that was a little before my time.
I'm old as fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
The Doctor, y'all.
I knew this brawl that grew up in the Everglades. Drove the best of Escalades, we called her Lady Razorblade. This was a hustler in the past, but the class funky. Face was fine and hips was wide and that ass chunky. Yeah, she had a donkey attitude like niggas want me. Daddy was a killer and her mama was a junkie. All about her money, selling mollies, making dollars. Sold a lot to the mama of her baby's father. The baby daddy was a slimy, grimy motherfucker. Not to mention that this nigga was a stepbrother. He was arrested for molesting other family members. Lady swore on her baby's life that she was gonna kill him. Lady Razorblade, tell you how she got that thing. The sex abuse was her excuse, the major thing that made her gay. Her girlfriend named Latay had twist braids, it was major pay. Showed her how to trick niggas and leave them with their throats laid. It was just one day, Lady was walking through the store. This dude is out, that ass is fat, can I get that booty, ho? Lady looked back, she paused for a second. Could not believe this nigga was that damn disrespectful. She kept it stepping till she met up in the parking lot. Gave this man that look like, nigga, what you trying to fuck or not? Boy was like, damn, when you gonna let a nigga in her? She said the windows in my Escalade's dog tended. They jumped up in the back, Lady straddled on his lap. Opened up her ass crack and she let that nigga have that. Up and down, in and out, this nigga can't believe it. Out the blue before you know this nigga throat bleeding. He tried screaming, hands dropped away from her ass and hips. That's when she raised her face and showed the blade in between the lips. She smiled and laughed and watched this nigga take.
Can you feel it, baby?